This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Biggest obstacles here as we're going in. Let's talk about it for the prosecution, first of all. What are some of the biggest obstacles that they're going to be facing in round two of the Karen Reed trial, trying to convince that jury that this was, in fact, second-degree murder? Do you think that they should even try to get to second-degree murder, or just try and, you know, get to the bar of manslaughter if that's what their goal is? And what do you think those obstacles are going to be?
The biggest obstacle, really quickly, is jury nullification, but we've already discussed it. The second biggest obstacle, just in terms of their facts, are going to be the issue with the lead investigator. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to be eviscerated again on the stand by the defense. You know, Proctor is going to be made to look like a real villain, and that he made his mind up and that he was prejudiced against Karen Reed. And it just is a terrible optic. Mm-hmm. But he was fired, and they're going to show why he was fired, not for corruption, not for collusion, but because he drank on the job, he drove his cruiser drunk, and he talked terrible about a witness to others and talked about an investigation, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's good, actually. A lot of people say, well, it's terrible he's been fired. I think it's a good thing.
I think it's good.
Because it showed the jury he's been held accountable.
Yeah, I mean, and I know he was fired for being drunk on the job, but I mean, was that, on paper, yes, officially, this is why he was fired. But I mean, he clearly did show a bias against Karen Reed. I mean, right off the bat, I don't care who he's talking to. It shows his stream of consciousness of, you know, everything he was saying about her, not just the horrible physical things, but everything about, you know, we're going to get her. I don't have the exact terms in front of me, but obviously the man was not objectively looking at this case. So you have that, and that's a fact of this case that from the beginning, your lead investigator already is determined to bring her down. That's a hard one to argue to a jury. I mean, okay, your lead investigator is doing this. What else is going on behind the scenes, which easily then leads to more conspiracy type arguments? That's a hard one. How are they going to handle that?
Well, I think really when you look at this, it was 16 hours later that these conversations took place. Now, some people might say, Jen, 16 hours, that's such a short amount of time. No, in investigation land, it's a quick amount of time in a case like this. Mm-hmm. He already knows that she said she hit him and already has gotten all this information, already understands that what he died of, which was his cracked skull combined with the, you know, the frozen hypothermia factors. He already understands that the taillight's broken. Mm-hmm. He believes, and remember, this is a state trooper. This is somebody, these troopers have seen so many accidents and so many accident scenarios. This is not even close to his first rodeo of seeing what a motor vehicle accident was. So he already has all this information in his head. And it's not just his investigation. He has sent multiple people out to do interviews and collect evidence, and he's the fulcrum of all that evidence. Mm-hmm. So he knows it all at this point, 16 hours worth, which is a lot. And he's decided in his mind, she hit him.
Sure.
And I think any logical investigator under those circumstances would have also thought that. Believe me, I'm not supporting what he said. Mm-hmm. I'm not supporting anything he did that he was fired for in any way. But I'm just saying people need to understand what it's like to be the lead detective. And after 16 hours, you have a lot of information.
Sure. So essentially, you're saying if you're just looking at what they knew as facts in the case at that moment in time, a reasonable person would logically look at this and go, she was hit. She said she hit him. The evidence that we see thus far. So it's more so the loose tongue that completely sinks him because of the way he then started talking about this and the way he kind of framed how he felt about Karen Reed. Had those elements not happened, had his loose tongue not gotten so damn loose out there, maybe we wouldn't be in this situation today. It's more so the optics that end up destroying the facts in a lot of people's mind, the findings of what was going on versus just someone saying something out loud.
Yeah, you perfectly stated it, Tony. I couldn't state it any better.
What about the other side? What do we have going on over here? What are going to be some of the biggest hurdles for the defense of Karen Reed this round? Now that we have some new elements in here, we have the blogger, we have all the not good optics. If we're talking about character here, we didn't have this much of a negative outlook on Karen Reed round one in terms of what she said with her loose tongue in documentaries and such. Now you have two characters here that don't come across very well. Where do you think it's going to be? Where are the big pitfalls that they're going to have to look out for on the defense of Karen Reed?
Well, I've always said if I were in charge of order of proof, I would put out those statements she made in the middle of the night saying she effing hates him.
Yeah.
I mean, she says that. I effing hate you. And she calls 53 times. She's absolutely unhinged. You can hear how much she disdains this man, mm-hmm. right? Because the line between love and hate is very, very thin, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would show her state of mind and her hatefulness toward him. And then I would show all of those news media clips where she talks about what she did. Well, I think I could have clipped him in the knee, but I looked and he didn't appear to be mortally wounded. I mean, that's my favorite one mm-hmm. because she completely really admits to it. And then I would follow that up by all these, you know, paramedics who yeah. have no reason to lie, who should not put things like that on their reports. Their reports are medical evidence. Mm-hmm. That's what a report looks like. That's, you know, I'm an EMS provider. Anybody who is one knows that what those reports should say is everything about the patient. You're mm-hmm. not a police officer conducting an interview, an investigation. You let the police know what you heard.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're witness to anything like that, but they have no reason to lie, mm-hmm. zero. And so I would put all of them up with what she said as well. And that's, to me, their biggest hurdle is Karen Reed herself.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, I think, more difficult this time because you have far more of her in her own words contradicting herself left and right through all of these interviews that she's given, through all of these statements that she's made. And this is going to play different, I think, to a jury this time. And it may just be more confusion. It may be like, we don't know either. But the fact that she's gone back and forth so many times on, did I hit him? You know, if I hit him, and then did I clip him? I might have clipped. You know, she just contradicts left and right. And then, you know, as the case gets going further, then she's in this absolute state of, I know I didn't hit him. That's going to be a difficult one. How do you think they're going to try and argue that to a jury where she just flips back and forth so frequently?
I think it just makes her look really bad. That, and when you see her in the courtroom, I'm assuming she's going to have the same demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
She has absolutely not one ounce of sadness,
mm-hmm.
no regret, just like we saw on these shows. Just absolute, the only looks you ever see on her face are anger.
Yeah.
You never see any sort of, this is a man she purportedly loved for 2 years and she wanted to be with. And you don't see any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that also bodes well. But you know what? At the end of the day, a logical mind will really take the forensic evidence. And to me, even if you believed, although it's been disproven now, even with that report, that there was no collusion, mm-hmm. there was no tainting of evidence, no planning of evidence, if you look, how did the microscopic pieces of the taillight get in the fabric on his arm?
Mm-hmm.
To me, just as a logical thinker, I can't explain that other than the force at which that would have had to have happened, which they're going to have explained. And that's the giveaway for me that she should be found guilty of this crime.
Yeah, I mean, she does sink her ship so many times. Just recently, just this last week, remember the pickle chips?
Oh my gosh.
Yes, put the bag down. Just it. Still sits there. Excuse me while I eat my pickle chips and answer your questions. That whole thing, what she was talking about while eating her pickle chips, of nobody's being paid. These people, all these attorneys are just doing this work for free for her. Is it fraud when you're collecting tons of money through your defense fund and people are giving it to you for your defense and apparently you're not paying your defense? The hell is that? Is this just the Karen Reed, I feel bad for you foundation, or what is this?
No, it's the Karen Reed, I need to pay for your Botox and your wonderful clothes and your limousine and your beautiful nights out, you know, at the most expensive places there are in that area. You know, that's the bottom line is what she said there. And if you look, and I've posted this, the defense fund, what it's supposed to be for is her defense. Mm-hmm. And the fact she says that they're all working for free, she's just painting the fraud that is happening. And but you know what, people are willing to give, and I used to feel really bad for them. Mm-hmm. I really thought, you know what, they're just so misled and misguided and they don't know. But I don't know if you've seen this, but people are saying I couldn't feed my family like because of all the money I gave. And one guy specifically told me in a personal conversation that his business is going down and his wife is so upset with him because he gave, I believe, around $20,000 to her, and in conjunction with him traveling and making sure he was there to support her, doesn't even know her, never met her.
I'd be concerned if I was that wife, that your husband's going out to Massachusetts to go hang out with this blonde lady that's kind of attractive, and he's putting all this money, he doesn't even know her. Like, wonder what's the motivation is here.
Yeah, it's great, but there's so many people doing that. And you know, it's a fraud, in my opinion. She said it.
Yeah.
She said it. You know, when you write on paper, it's for your defense and you're not using it for that because you tell everybody you're not. That's a problem.
Do you think this is going to go anywhere with that as being a fraud? I mean, if it can be deemed a fraud, I don't know. Maybe there's some fine print here where it's like, yeah, we call it that, but it's up to us to use the money however we want.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. Of course, yeah. GoFundMe is not having any role in this because they do not provide funds for murder defendants. And this other platform shouldn't either. I'm not going to even say it because I don't want to promote them in any way. But Tony, that's got to change. But I don't know if it will. And if people are naive enough to give money hand over fist to this woman, you know.
At some point, you're just an idiot. At some point, you're just dumb and you're not making good life choices. And yeah, if you're donating to that and it's, you know, it's not going there, that's on you. that's not anybody else's fault at that point when you're seeing exactly, and she's literally telling you that she's not paying them. That's on you. But it's going to be interesting several weeks ahead as we have now to watch the trial of Karen Reed part 2. I'm sure we'll be having many conversations about it here as it continues in.
The world of true crime never stops, and neither do we. Press subscribe now to get daily updates, in-depth analysis, and expert opinions from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.